Yesterday morning, about 5:30 a.m., I left the cabin. The elders and I went on a retreat in Branson. I left the cabin that morning, and I went out for a run. I forgot what it was like until yesterday, what it was like to run in the dark by yourself in an unfamiliar area. It's dangerous, I found out. Every little sound you hear when you're in the dark spooks you a little bit, you know. Every howl you hear in the woods raises the hair on the back of your neck. Every little fence you may just end up running into that you don't see. Not that that happened. It almost happened. It happened, but I didn't see it. And every little pothole in the gravel you can trip over. It's dangerous to be in the dark. And I went down a large hill, and there by the lake, I found a half a mile loop, an oval, almost like a big track of asphalt at a campsite. And so I just stayed in a holding pattern there until it got light, because I couldn't really see anything. It's dangerous to be in the dark. If you haven't had that experience, running or walking in the dark alone in an unfamiliar area, you know what it's like even in your own house, a place that you know very well. Once you turn the lights off, even trying to get to the bed can be dangerous, especially if you have little kids who leave things on the floor. You can stub your toe, trip. Who likes to drive at night in the dark by yourself in an unfamiliar area? It's dangerous. It's dangerous to be in the dark, literally and also figuratively. Who likes being in the dark in things? You know, maybe you're up against something that you've never encountered before, and you feel like you're swinging in the dark. You have no direction, no clear guidance on what to do. You've never encountered something like this before. You're in the dark on it. Being in the dark's not good. All these fears creep in when we're in the dark. But the Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? There's something good about the light. There's something inherently good about the light. It's the first thing God creates in Genesis. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that it was good. And he separates the light from the darkness. He doesn't call the darkness good. He saw that the light was good. And light shows up throughout the Old Testament in 100 different stories. But one of my favorite ones about light is when the people of Israel are enslaved in Egypt and the ninth plague comes. Remember the ninth plague? Darkness, right? Darkness comes, and the Lord says to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there would be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt." It's exactly what I felt yesterday, a darkness to be felt. It's a good way to word it. So Moses stretched out his hand towards heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. Not a coincidence. They didn't see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But you know what's so interesting about this story? What happens to the people of Israel? Do you remember the ninth plague, darkness over all the land? What happens to the people of Israel? All the people of Israel had light where they lived. What did that look like? They didn't have flashlights, but they had light where they lived. God's people had light. It's a gift from him. And light is good. And he gives it to his people to remind them he's present with them, to remind them of his promises. He points Abraham back to the stars, the lights. You're going to have this many children. Light is good. It's a gift from God. So I was running, meandering around that half-mile loop. And dawn began to break, and the sun started to peek over the lake. And I could see where I was running. I could see the fences. I could see that I was at a campsite and that no one was camping because it was 17 degrees. But I couldn't just see that. I could see the hills. It seemed for miles around this lake. These beautiful hills cascading into the waters. And inside each of the hills, you can see the trees and homes tucked within them. I could see it all. As the light began to shine, you get to see everything. And Jesus' words running through my mind, "You are the light of the world. You're that light of the world," and which means a few things. You're a light of the world. You're for others. What good is a light to itself or salt to itself? It's for the sake of others, to flavor and preserve something else, to give light so that others can see. You're a light of the world. You are for other people, which means that the world on its own is dark. I know that's not politically correct to say, but the world is dark on its own. There is real danger in the world, and real sin, and a real blindness, and real death that really hurts. And the world will not tolerate your light once you start to point out that darkness. It will put up with your words and your actions until you start to point out the darkness. It can make us uncomfortable and uneasy to be light in the darkness. So we're tempted to put that light under a basket. You can do that. You can turn a blind eye. You can fail to speak, fail to act, fail to love and to live and to pray. But all the while you do it, that light within you is beckoning you to do otherwise. To pray and to live and to speak and to act otherwise for the sake of the other. Jesus said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." As I was running around that loop, the verse that there is nothing hidden that will not be made manifest, or is anything secret that will be kept hidden that will not come into the light, came to mind. Everything done in the darkness will be revealed. There is nothing hidden from God. All sin, all blindness, all darkness of the world will be revealed, but also yours. You can't hide anything from him. Everything will be revealed. There will be nothing hidden from him. When the light comes, there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed in the light. All that was done in the darkness will come to light. Jesus said that I'm the light of the world. I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Yet Jesus tells his disciples here that you're the light of the world. He doesn't say, you need to figure out how to be the light of the world. He doesn't say you need to be a better light of the world. He doesn't say that you need to try harder at being a light of the world. He doesn't say that you need to make yourself a light of the world. He says you are the light of the world. You are, by virtue of your baptism into him, into his death, into his resurrection, you are the light of the world. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I know that sometimes the life of a Christian can feel like you're barely a flicker. And you question how much light really is coming from you. Or you're content just to be like every other Christian, a regular flashlight. Or sometimes, Lord willing, although rare, he turns you into a powerful spotlight that brings others to his son. But place yourself on that hill for a moment. What kind of light are you? Not what kind of light do you want to be. What kind of light are you right now? Because when that sun comes up, it doesn't matter. all that matters is the sun. He is the light, like a flicker of a spark to a blazing furnace of the sun. You're a light, but only in the fact that you point others to the true light, who is far greater, far brighter, far more brilliant and clear and glorious than any light within ourselves. For I am the Lord, the Almighty and living God, the light of the nations, and I have called you. I'll take you by the hand and keep you. I'll make you a light for the nations. You are the light of the world. You cannot be hidden in your path. You will be like a light of dawn for others, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. O Trinity, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord, where there is mercy that never fails, where there is grace that always abounds, where there is forgiveness for all of our sins done in secret and in the darkness, where there is a love, a hope that is undefiled and imperishable and unfading, a future for us being kept in heaven for us on the day that he returns. And there are people in our community who still sit in that darkness. People who are captive to sin. Who are struggling for a hope and a future. But you're a light. And you may be the only light that they have. So you can't ignore them. You can't turn a blind eye to them. You can't let them sit in the darkness. You cannot let the hungry starve or the homeless freeze. You can't let people sit in darkness without seeing the light. So whatever light God has given you, use it to point others to the true light. Because there is coming a day where darkness will be no more and everything that is done in the darkness will be swept away. There will be no more need for light or sun or lamp. But the Lord our God will be the light and we will reign with him forever and ever. And we want them to be there with us too, with the Lord. Amen.